Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth, they sweep it under rug. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask for grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
Yo. Since I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way, it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See, right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
AKA Master Teacher 33. Today is Friday, August the 10th of 2018, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable, I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we got a profound show scheduled for you today. On my way to Big D, head up to Austin to go check out the venue for September the 29th. So if the call drops, just hang tight. I'm going to call right back in. So I am driving. You guys know I like to, you know, multitask, as they say. One monkey don't stop the show. The show must go on. So, again, you may hear a little background noise, Don't let that deter you from receiving the message and your blessing today. Brothers and sisters, your self-image determines your circumstances. The only thing that can change your circumstances or your life is your self-image. Brothers and sisters, no one can make you feel inferior unless you let them. You should not give the keys to your happiness to someone else. Today's message is, how do you improve, or how do you build a proper omnibenevolent self-image? How do you build, how do you establish, how do you maintain a proper biblical, universal, esoteric, spiritual, cosmic, royal self-image? How do you have an image of yourself that matches the image of your God? Boom. Drop the mic. Exit stage left. Let me say that again. Today's message is very profound, very important. Because what we're talking about, my brothers and sisters, is how do you see yourself? When you look in the mirror, how do you see yourself? Now, not you know, how do you think about yourself, but like really, really, what do you see? When you look into the depths of your soul, what do you see? Do you like what you see? Are you proud of what you see and who you be? See, what you see is who you be. So if you don't see, you can't be. And whatever you see is what you be. What you see is what you be. But how do I build or change what I see? Okay, I see myself as blank. So if you don't see yourself as a cacillionaire, if you don't see yourself as a whatever the most healthiest person you can think of, or the most healthiest, the healthiest ideal that you can think of, if you don't see yourself as all-knowing or the wisest person that ever walked the earth, if you don't see yourself in a deep conscious of the fact that you're unconscious consciousness, relationship with yourself, with your God, and with others, if you can't see these attributes and characteristics inside of the self, then, my brothers and my sisters, we need to talk. Today's message is specifically for you. If you do not see yourself as omnipresent, as omnibenevolent, as omnipotent, as all-knowing, all-power, all-present, and all-good, without the ability to see it, it is impossible for you to be it. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I have to teach you, talk to you, assist you, explain to you how to see. Because if you can't see, you can't be. And the sad thing is about it, the Bible talks about the blind leading the blind. There are many people that are blind, and they are our leaders. So if our leaders are blind, guess what the followers are? It's the blind leading the blind. Notice the blind are not leading the seen. So in order to see, that is the only way for you to be or to lead. Blind people only lead blind people. So to get out of the camp of being blind, you have to see. No one can make you feel, no one can make you blind. No one can do anything unless you give them the permission, you give them the keys. So when we're talking about your self-image, let me make sure you understand why this is so important. I didn't really understand how important this was until I got, you know, what I call higher level. That just simply means I became aware that I was unaware that I was unaware. That's what it means by higher level. Let me make sure you understand. So I'm chugging along. I'm living the dream. Toes curled. And I was unaware that I was unaware. I was unaware until I was exposed to real wealth. Because I didn't really know. First time I rode in a convertible Rolls Royce. You know, the first time I went out, you know, when I was in, you know, San Diego, and I, you know, went out to, you know, Carthage by the Sea, and, you know, went out to Santee, went to Catalina Islands, and the first time I actually got a chance to see, I haven't had a chance to go to, you know, Dubai yet, that's on the bucket list, but, you know, I've seen some of the images and some of the things, you know, when we talk about, now, remember, money is just the symbol of a mental disposition that is moving, or that has currency, or that moves outside of the frame, or the, and it destroys the box. That's what money is. Money means that you have the ability to consider. That's the definition of the word aletheia, or truth. That's what money is. Money is consideration. People who don't have money are not considerate. They don't consider options. See, you don't have money if the only option, you can only get money from working at McDonald's. If McDonald's decides not to hire you, you don't have no other options. That's called poverty. Poverty is people who are poor are people who don't have options. People who are rich, they got options. Because a rich person, when you tell him you can only make money by doing blank, that rich person, they got a brain. And they're going to tell you, I don't think so, boo-boo. And they will create. They will figure out. They will find a way. How? See, rich people have rich self-images. A rich person has a rich self-image. Notice the images of the self. You see, you have an image, and I got an image, but our image is flawed. How is our image flawed? If you're black, let me tell you what happened to you, boo-boo. First of all, you got something in your DNA and in your genes that's been handed down from generations to generations from your oppressor. So you got oppressive genes by birth. Then, now biblically, sins of the fathers passed down to the son. That's the biblical proof that you need. Then on top of that, you have something called oppression. Now the Bible talks about, there's a plethora of scriptures that talks about oppression. And where do you get it from? Now, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of relationships, regardless of riches, those are non-issues. The only issue is royalty. Since your self-image is based upon race, your dog don't hunt. If your self-image is based upon riches, your dog don't hunt. If your self-image is based upon a relationship, because you got a relationship with Jim Bob and Jim Bob decides to leave your ass one day, self-image is gone. Okay, your dog don't hunt. If your self-image is based upon religion, oh, man, you might as well just go ahead and just exit stage left now. It's over for you, boo-boo, because your self-image is based upon the fact that you are relying upon the Jesus that's outside of you, when the Bible clearly states Christ in you, the hope of the glory. Now, I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. I keep saying this. I need y'all to understand. This is not rocket science. We're not talking about physics. I mean, this is not plastic surgery. We're not performing any major surgery here, brothers and sisters. The scripture clearly states Christ in you. Now, again, I am not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm in the shed. It says Christ in you. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around why people have problems with this. Why? See, this is why your self-image is whack. You got a whack Jesus. You got a white Jesus, or you got a picture of it. The Bible says make no graven image. So whatever pixel you got of Jesus, you need to get rid of it yesterday. Because why? That limits your self-image. In fact, you have no self-image. Why? You got a pixel image. Your image is a pixel that some dude or dudette gave you. Now, if you got a pixel of a little dude with a big belly, his name is Buddha, you got a limited self-image. Because you get your image. Now, image is all your imagination. Your image nation. Your self-image creates your nation. Heavenly Father, destroy every yoke. Break every chain. Release your host, the heavenly host, so that way every person that's listening to the sound of my voice will be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Just renew them, Father. Brothers and sisters, the Father is going to do it for you. All you got to do is sit back and just enjoy the ride. God is doing the work. Just yield. All you got to do is yield. The Father is creating in you. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. So the Father is changing your self-image. Right now you got an image that may be based upon what you learned, whatever was frequently repeated. And the reason why you must, this is not an option. Today's message is not one of these optional messages. Most of my messages are not. You see, I came from Podunk, Texas. Now, that was a great sister that came out of Podunk, Texas. Let's not get it twisted. However, Podunk, Texas is not omnibenevolent. It's not always good. In other words, I can't always see good. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, and all I see is my hands around their neck, and I see life leaving their body. See, so that means that I got a faulty self-image. So I am aware that I have been unaware that I was unaware. So now that I am aware that I'm unaware, I want to be aware. So I help the Father help me be aware that I am unaware. Father, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, I am now building the proper omnibenevolent self-image, always good. Now, I was reading a story on Instagram or Facebook or somewhere. There was talking about this farmer who had a farm. And the farmer had a horse he used to plow the farm. And one day, the farmer went outside to plow, and the horse ran away. And his neighbors told the farmer, again, I'm paraphrasing, I forgot exactly how the story goes, but this is my version of it. The farmer's horse ran away, so he had no way to plow the field. So his neighbors saw him and said, "Ooh, dude, it sucks for you. Life is over. You have no way to plow your field." And the farmer just calmly replied, "Maybe." Then the next day, the horse came back, and the horse brought 7 more horses with him, wild horses. These wild horses were following his horse because it was a female horse, and she was in heat, so it brought back 7 male stallions, big, strong horses, but they were wild. But the farmer's neighbor saw that now he has 8 horses. He had his own, and he brought 7 more horses, and the neighbors was like, "Dude, you are blessed beyond measure. You got 7 wild stallions." And the farmer calmly replied, "Maybe." And then the farmer's son saw that they had all of these horses, and the farmer's son went out to break these horses so that these wild stallions in their prime could plow his fields. And so the farmer's son jumped on top of the horse, and he started breaking these wild horses. And when he was on like his second, third, or fourth horse, that he was breaking them so that they wouldn't be wild, the farmer's son got bucked off the horse, and he broke his leg. And the neighbors again said, "Oh, dude, it's over, man. It's over. It's a wrap, boo-boo. Your son, you got the horse, but you don't have your son. Your son broke his leg. Surely your life is over, dude. It's a wrap for you, boo." And the farmer calmly looked at his neighbors and said, "Maybe." And then the next day, a war in the farmer's country, and his government came, and they was drafting all boys between the age of 18 and, let's say, 21. And the farmer's son was in that age bracket. So the government came to take the farmer's son. He didn't have a choice. He has to go fight in the front line to protect his country. So when the government came to take the son had a broke leg. So he wasn't eligible to go fight. So he didn't have to go to the war. And so the neighbors, again, watching, says, man, you are blessed among all men. My son had to go to the war, and your son didn't. The farmer, again, replied, maybe. The moral of the story, brothers and sisters, throughout all of these ups and downs that the farmer went through, losing the horse, then getting a whole bunch of other horses, breaking those wild horses, but then losing the son, but then being able to keep his son because the son had a broke leg, and that kept him from having to go to war. The moral of the story is the glass is always half full. The farmer always saw these events that everybody else see as very high or very low. The farmer's reply was always, yeah, maybe. The farmer did not allow himself to be overly exuberant, or the farmer did not allow himself to be so depressed that he would go out and put a bullet in his own head. The farmer understands something that I want you to understand today. The farmer understood that life brings events. It's not what happens to you, it's how you respond. The farmer had a healthy self-image. The farmer understood, he overstood, and he understood something that many of us do not. The farmer understands nothing is guaranteed but change. The farmer was not moved by outside demonstration. The farmer maintained his inside revelation. The farmer had a proper biblical, spiritual, universal, esoteric, cosmic self-image. The farmer knew he did not have control over outside circumstances, but the farmer knew he could control his self-image. So the farmer saw himself as always being blessed or benevolent or good. The farmer did not allow the whims and whims, the up and down, the ebbs and flows of life to affect his calm, cool, collected demeanor. You see, if we would have been that farmer, we would be in an emotional wreck from going up and down because of a faulty self-image. So today, brothers and sisters, you and I are going to build a self-image, a proper biblical, spiritual, cosmic, universal, esoteric self-image that is omnibenevolent. You see, brothers and sisters, your self-image changes your circumstances. If there's anyone that is listening to the sound of my voice today, and there is circumstances, there is a situation, there is something that you would like to oscillate or to vibrate on a higher level. Now remember, the word higher means I am aware that I am unaware that I am being unaware. You just got to be aware. It didn't say anything about changing self-image. It's a picture. It's a picture of yourself that you hold in yourself. Right now, your self-portrait, if I ask you to paint a picture of yourself, how would you paint yourself? Would you paint yourself wealthy? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself wealthy? Do you see, like, honestly, let's be honest now. We are all big boys and big girls. I don't want nobody insulting my intelligence. Don't blow no smoke up my skirt. Even though I don't got no skirt. But don't blow no smoke up my butt. Be honest with yourself. How do you see yourself? Like, for real, for real. Like, for real. Like, really, like, for real. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself, like, do you look good? Do you think you're attractive? Do you think that you're attractive? Do you think you look good? Do you think that you have a, you know, you're a nice person to be around? Are you friendly? Are you a friend? Would you hire you? Would you date you? Would you go out with you? How do you see your weight? Do you think you are overweight? Do you think you're underweight? How do you see yourself? Do you think you're good at what you do? Would you give you a job? Do you think you have the mental capacity to run your own business? If I gave you my business and told you, I'm going to go on a 30-day vacation, I'm going to teach you, I want you to do, you know, my shows. I want you to do my Dear Kinnear reports. I want you to you know, do the one-on-ones with my clients. If I gave you the keys to my kingdom, would you be able to run it? How much self-confidence do you have? How much self-worth do you have? How much self-value do you have? How much self-esteem do you have? How do you see you? Not me, not the reverend, not the doctor, not the bishop, not your mother, not your father, not your aunts, not your uncles, not your Sheerans. I know you love your Sheerans, but, you know, we're not talking about the Sheerans today. How do you see you, like, for real, honestly? I don't think you see yourself the way you should. I think you have a faulty self-image. I think your image is too low. I don't think you have a proper self-image. In fact, I'm going to put all my money, all of it, every dime, on the fact that your image is not omnibenevolent. And if your image is not omnibenevolent, you can't be omnibenevolent. You can only be what you see. Your image is a self-portrait, and it is the most powerful force in your life. Your self-image powers Heavenly Father. Wow. Glory. Let me say that again. Woo! Presence. Wow. Let me say it one more time. Hallelujah. Your self-image powers your life. Your self-image is your reality. Your self-image is what you project out. It paints the canvas. See, when I was in photography, we shined. We put a negative into an enlarger, and we shined a light through the negative, and it landed on some paper, and it burned an image into the paper. We put the paper in chemicals, and that produced the picture. Now we got digital photography, so everything is done with pixels now and done a little differently. So notice, however, that we shine the light through a negative. Now, a film is called a negative. And you don't want no negatives? That means you can't create no pictures. So I get excited, really excited, if there's a negative. The bigger the negative, the more beautiful, and the bigger the picture. See, your self-image is your self-concept of yourself. See, if you want to project your image right now onto the movie or onto a movie screen, that would be your movie. The movie that you watch, when you go to the movies, you're watching somebody's construct or concept of themselves on a movie. So every time you go to the movie, what you're doing is you're watching somebody's imagination, somebody's image. So the word image comes from the word imagination or imagination. So, again, what is your self-image? Your self-image is your self-imagination. How do you imagine yourself? Now, remember, as my good buddy Reverend Ike and Neville Goddard would say back in the day, if you got a faulty self-image, you would have a faulty viewpoint, a faulty reality. See, a healthy self-image is critical. It is imperative. It is the most important thing in your life right now. Nothing is more important than how you see yourself. Nothing. No, nothing, no amount of money can replace it. No person. I don't care who your guru is. Your entire existence centers around your self-image. See, when you love yourself, what happens is you don't try to please someone else. Let me say that again. I've been a people pleaser all my life. And the reason that I wanted to please people, because I didn't think it was possible to please myself. And the biggest reason I couldn't please myself, because I didn't have no self. How can you achieve a goal that you don't got? Come on, preacher. Let me say that again. I didn't have no goals. I had ideals. I had likes. But I didn't have nothing written down in concrete. I didn't have no date set to it. And I wasn't willing to die for it. Are you? See, a self-image automatically brings to pass. It is the power that fulfills destiny. A high self-image creates a high net worth or self-worth. And self-worth equals net worth. You see, if you have a proper omnibenevolent or biblical self-image, what you're doing is you are constantly evaluating anything that is not taking you in the direction of fulfilling that self-image. In other words, any color that you cannot use to paint the picture, you don't need and you get rid of. See, a life becomes easy once you stop striving for perfection, because perfection is not a healthy self-image. But if you got a healthy self-image, then you know that you're not striving for perfection, you're striving for purpose. You know that God has given you everything that you need to fulfill your purpose. If you got a proper self-image, then all of your relationships are great. Because, excuse me, you're not discontent. You're not angry. You're not expecting somebody else to make you happy. You know that that's your job. And if you got a proper self-image, you're happy. Why? You look in the mirror and you like what you see. And you stop sabotaging yourself. You accomplish more. You're able to do way more in life, because when you have a proper self-image, your self-image is the sum total of all your thoughts that you have thought to this day. So to build a proper self-image, there's only one thing that you got to do. Now, I was talking to a client yesterday, or was it the day before? I forgot. But anyway, it's a couple of days ago. And I was talking to the client, and this client was explaining all of the things that had gone wrong. The client was explaining to me how, especially women, because, you know, women, y'all have babies. And it's very difficult. I don't know a woman that, you know, and as you guys know, when I worked in the prison system, and it blew me away, because these women would come to the prison, and little Johnny's on death row. They got proof. They got him on videotape killing 30 people. But to that mother, that's little Johnny. And that mother will always see her son as little Johnny. She don't see that little Johnny grew up to be a mass murderer. Her image of little Johnny is not a murderer. Her image is of little Johnny is him playing in the yard when he was a child. Mothers don't see murderers. What do you see? I'm a father. I got children. I love my children. I'm driving to Dallas right now, taking my daughter to go spend time with her two older daughters, and then I'll be taking her to Nacogdoches where she gets ready to start her college career. Regardless of what anybody tells me about my daughter, that's my daughter. Now, somebody else may not think highly of my daughter, but my image that I have in my brain that's burned in my skull is my daughter. I don't see what other people see. If a pedophile, well, they wouldn't be a pedophile, my daughter's 18 now, but if a man saw my daughter as a piece of meat, I don't see my daughter like that. I don't think about my image. Why? How come? Now, supposedly there are men out there that have sex with their own daughters, supposedly. How come I don't see my daughter as a sexual conquest? Why is the image of my daughter different from the image of your daughter? How do we develop images? What image is in your head? What is your self-image? Your self-image is a portrait that paints your circumstances. Your self-image is your mental picture. Now, let me make sure you understand, because the brain thinks in pixels. Thoughts are pixels. So you draw pixels into your life. So every image that I've ever had, let me try to say this without being disrespectful to my ex-wife, my current wife, and none of the stupid things I've done in my life. Now, I didn't really understand phantasmagoria, as you guys know. I just was doing it since I was a little kid. My mom passed away. I moved to Richmond. Didn't stay with my biological father that long, but the time that I was there, underneath his bed, my father had a bunch of porno magazines. Let me show you the power of what I'm saying. Now, I didn't really notice at the time because I was unaware that I was unaware that I was unaware. So how can you be aware that you're not aware? I didn't know. So now I know. When I got to San Diego, now I had never dated out of my race. I never had the thought of dating outside of my race. I got to San Diego. At the time I met my wife, I was dating three other girls at the same time. They were all black. Now, let me tell you the power. But in my subconscious mind, there was no, and every female I had been with that was black, there was no sexual arousal. We'll put it that way. Now, I had to force the sexual act. But whenever I was around a white female, I had immediate sexual arousal. Every picture I saw from 13 to 18 was a white female's genitalia. I never saw a black female's genitalia. So the first time I saw it, it did nothing to me. No response whatsoever. And people wonder why I married outside my race. I was programmed because something was frequently repeated. It produced a emotional response called a hard-on or a boner. And then that made me engage in a physical action called self-gratification. Now, that's what I did. Y'all know I keep it real. I'm not going to blow smoke up nobody's butts. Because I talk to people every day that talk about shit they read out of books. They ain't got no freaking real life experience. So what if you did the same thing positively? That's what I do for a living, brother. That's what I do for a living, sister. I don't read about stuff in books. I change my own life and I change other people's lives by giving them tools to implement. Now, you can get scriptures all you want. But if you don't have the ability to interpret that scripture and implement it into your life, your dog don't hunt. As we read, faith without action works is dead. I did not make it up. It's in the Bible. Now, that means in English, you have to use pixels. Now, you can go to Google right now and type in pen, PENAND, Pixels, PIXELF. Click on images. You're going to see some white dudes. And then you're going to see a bunch of album covers from dudes in Houston, Slim Thug, Mike Jones, all these other dudes way back in the day. Now, these dudes, as you guys know, as I say all the time, because that's my best example, because I'm from Houston. I grew up right outside of Houston, a little town called Richmond, Texas. Went to Missouri City, hang out there all the time. That's where these dudes hung out. And everything that they put on those album covers manifested in their life. Now, I'm not making this up. You can research it yourself. How? Can somebody please tell me how a poor, broke, and disgusted Negro who put a picture of a freaking Lamborghini or a picture of a Rolls Royce on it, on an album cover, they rented these cars, they borrowed money, and they took pictures of themselves in cars and with money, and guess what happened? A year, 2 years later, that exact car and that exact amount of money showed up in their life. Now, you heard one of my clients, Sister Kai Watha. I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Span Saturday show. I have to attend a family homegoing after that. So Saturday show will be around 2. Sister Kai Watha said, now, she didn't give you the amount of money. It's a three-digit money, three-digit number. What they call it? Three. I don't say three digits. Six-figure. In other words, it's a lot of money. Now, remember, Sister Kai Watha said she wrote herself a check, and she did it a step further than what I did. Sister Kai Watha took the check. She got an envelope. She put her name on it. Now, y'all heard the testimony. Y'all heard her out of her own mouth. She put the check. She put an envelope on the check. She went to the post office, and she mailed a check to herself. Why? Y'all ever listen to Reverend Ike? When I was a little kid growing up, my grandmother used to watch Reverend Ike. I just saw this dude with his flashy suits, and he has perm hair. I thought he was a pimp. He looked like to me. He looked like a pimp. Now I listen to what Reverend Ike was saying. He's saying the same stuff that I'm saying, but he was saying it in the freaking 70s. And Reverend Ike, when I look at this, most of his audience was Caucasian. Back then when civil rights stuff was going on. And Reverend Ike had money. I'm talking about lots of money. I'm talking about plethora. I don't know how much money Reverend Ike had, but I know he had a lot. How? He did exactly what I'm telling you to do. He did exactly what the Bible says to do. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says you bring about what you think about. The Bible tells you to think on these things. The Bible says you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. The Bible also says that the lilies of the fields, that they neither sow nor reap. The birds in the air, they don't sow nor reap. But why worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink? Do you not know that your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things before you even ask? Now, there's a plethora of scriptures, too, and there's more science now. Now science knows that any image held in the brain must manifest in the hand. That's all I did. That's all I do. Any image held in the brain, emphasis on the word held. How do you build a omnibenevolent self-image? Omni means always. Benevolent means good. That's one of the seven omni statements of the big G, not the little one. So like the farmer, and like I do, every event, this is the secret to building a strong self-image that when the devil comes and knocks at your door, you laugh in his face. And this is how you build a strong self-image. Now, remember, this is dangerous because if you do this, your children are going to tell you what my children tell me. People in your family are going to tell you what my family tells me. Now, I used to be a very emotional guy. Now, I don't have that. I don't have no middle gear. I never really had it. It's either I love you or I'm trying to take your life. I don't really have a middle gear. Now, I'm just omnibenevolent. Now, I don't have emotions like everybody else. I have clients who tell me that when they say, well, Brother Willie, I like you, man. I've been with the program. But you know what, brother? I think I'm going to take a break. Okay. Well, Brother Willie, you know, I think I'm going to do this. Okay. I got people on Facebook who call me spirit chunker, worthless piece of this, that, and the other, and I just say, okay, no emotional response. Everything's good. Somebody's born. Okay. Somebody dies. Okay. I make, first time, a couple of months ago, first time I made $20,000 in 1 month. Okay. If I make $10 this month, okay. Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. How do you build that? How do you build it? This is what I did. This is not something I read a book. I was the most emotionally unstable and unbalanced person I've met. I've met a lot of people. I talked to a lot of people. I've traveled the world courtesy of the United States government in the Marine Corps, got out, and then I moved around 25 times in a 20-year marriage. And the one thing, brothers and sisters, with all of that craziness and chaos, is because I didn't have focus, I didn't have discipline, I didn't have order. If you do not, I was moved by outside things. Now, I had a strong disposition and all that other good stuff, but on the inside, unconsciously, now remember, I'm talking about what you're not conscious of. I'm talking about the script that is running right now as I'm talking. See, right now, you're listening to me, and what I'm saying means nothing. What you're saying to yourself means everything. The way that you build a strong self-image is for you to control the narrative. What does that mean? Do I control what I hear and all that stuff? No. That means I control how I react. How do I do that? It's all good. The way that you build a strong biblical and spiritual self-image, so that way you project that, therefore, if you can see good, you can be good. Let me tell you the problem that we have. Right now you go to church and they tell you you're a sinner. And what do you feel? If you listen to most religions, you are a worthless sinner. How does that make you feel to be a worthless sinner, brother? I'm not. But I know a lot of people think that y'all are. Because you think that you are, you bring about what you think about. The biggest mistake that you are making right now is somebody else is determining your narrative. The biggest mistake that you're making in your life right now is you with a guy or a girl, and they don't see your worth and your value. How do I know? Because they treat you like trash. How do I know? Because what you do for them women, you sleep with a guy, and then he get up and you have sex with this guy. You know, he kiss you on the cheek, and he walk out, and then he sleep with another woman on the next day. Then he cheats to another woman. So you just gave that man all your goodies, the best part of you, and all you got was a peck on the cheek? How does that make you feel? What does that mean? No self-worth. That, what does that mean? No self-image. Notice that the self-image comes from the ability to see yourself the way God does. Notice the self-image comes from how you see you. So who controls how you see you? Does the media control how you see you? Who controls how you see you? Well, let me just use me. Okay, who controls how I see me? I do. Who controls the thoughts that come into my head? Well, let me rephrase that. The thoughts that stay in my head. Remember, what you hold in the head, you will hold in the hands. So let me ask you a question again. Now, remember, we're talking about building a high, omnibenevolent, the highest possible good. That means the highest amount of money that you can hold in, that you can have. The highest health, that means the best or the highest wisdom and the best and the possible or the highest relationship. Wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So how do you hold, what self-image will allow you to be a multimillionaire or billionaire? What self-image will allow for every organ in your body to function according to its purpose, so that when you're 100 years old, you can still run a flight of stairs, run a marathon, you can still pump out babies if you want to. So that when you're 100 years old, you still got total recall, total cognitive, no such thing as dementia. When you're 100 years old, you're still in a toe-curling relationship. Age doesn't you look the part, but you don't feel it. What is the mindset that will make that happen? Is when you see yourself that way. If you don't see yourself being 100 years old, running a marathon, it'll never happen. See, you got low expectations. Now, remember, the expectations cannot be projected onto someone else. That's called witchcraft. If you don't know that, that's called grandma casting. That's called beaming. That's called thought projection. That's what witches do. So if you project your thought onto Jim Bob, maybe Jim Bob don't want to run marathons when he's 100. That's why you must become a single standing column of waveform energy. And then you attract another single standing column of waveform energy. And these two columns come together and they weave together to create a new column. So first of all, you got to be you. See, the problem is what, let me speak for myself. The mistake I made was I wasn't a single standing column of waveform energy. And then I got married, and then I became a single standing column of waveform energy. And maybe my wife doesn't want to become a single standing column of waveform energy. Now, me and my wife talk about this all the time, because when I met my wife, everything that I wanted, my wife embodied. I actually wrote down on a piece of paper, I wanted to marry a pastor's daughter, because I knew that that would give me inside leverage on getting back into ministry. Now, I didn't say this consciously, but that's what I wrote down. So, because I asked myself, you know, 10 years later, why would I want my future wife to be a pastor's daughter? Why would I want her to have certain attributes and characteristics? Because at the time, I had just came out of ministry. I had just basically got kicked out of ministry for having a brain that worked. But I wanted to go back into tradition because I had not found truth. And so, remember, you bring about what you think about. Again, I am not talking about nothing I read off of no book. I still got the piece of paper that I wrote down 5 years before I met my wife. The reason that my first wife was white is because I ordered a white wife. Now, I didn't know at the time that if you look at pornography magazines every day and all you see is white poo nanny, you're going to be attracted to white poo nanny. Nobody told me that. Frequently repeated, emotionally recharged, establish a neurological network. So I'm telling you. So now you might want to ask yourself, how come you don't already have an omnibenevolent self-image? I know the answer to that question. Do you? The answer is you're not frequently repeating omnibenevolent images in front of you. That's why you don't have it. It's scientifically impossible. The brain only draws to itself what it believes about itself, according to every scientist on the planet. It's called the reticular activating system. Your RAS only draws in, it only lets in shizness that match the existing image. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, system, eyes of your people. You have to foresee your reticular activating system first. That's what you take. That's what I did. That's why I do so many shows. I do these shows to program myself. I'm not going to let the dominant culture program me. Hell no. They program me to be a yes Negro, a good house nigga. Yeah, that dog don't hunt. Not no more. Not for me anyway. I'm not going down that road that they would like me to go down. So I'm rewriting my own script. Like I told you guys, you can write the script. You can also direct the movie. You can hire the extras and the stagehand. And guess what? This is the best part right here. You can star. You don't have to be a backup. You don't have to be an extra. You don't have to be the stunt double. Why the hell you want to be the stunt double in your own movie called Your Life? I don't know. See, me, shit, I was in the back. I was a box boy. I was just packing boxes in my own movie. I didn't know. Nobody told me I didn't have to be the box boy. I wasn't even on the freaking screen, man. I wasn't even freaking the curtain dude. Now, it's a movie about my life, and I wasn't even in it. What the? Where did they do that at? That was me. I was living a life, and it wasn't mine. I woke up one day, and I looked around, and everybody in my life was having a great time except me. all y'all don't know. I said, mwah. You happy? You happy? Oh, you're not happy? Okay, what can I do for you? Man, I worked 3 jobs. Now, granted, I thought I was happy because that's what I saw. So I had a family. I made sure the family was happy. You know, make sure that everybody was happy but me. And then I woke up, as y'all know, my sister told me, boy, you deserve to be happy. What? Hold up. Yeah, I just started crying like a little baby. So my sister, thankfully, by the grace and mercy of God, I love my sister Linda. Linda keep it real. She came out the womb keeping it real. Linda told me, boy, now she walked away from a 30-year marriage. At the time my sister left her marriage, I thought she was on drugs. I would say, Chirin, let me get this right. Y'all been married 30-plus years. He just retired, and you getting divorced because y'all can't agree on whether to retire at? See, I didn't know everything that went on in the marriage. Because she said she didn't tell me because she already knew. Because if I had known, I'd probably put a bullet in his head a long time ago. So my sister loved me so much that she did not tell me what was really going on in her marriage. Now, I'm not really good at a lot of things. But I always remember my sister Brenda when she called me one time, and she was having some issue with her at the time. And, you know, out of respect, you know, he's no longer here. I never really had a disagreement with or dislike for any of the guys that my sisters dated. But I know that they were guys. So I didn't like them because they were men. Because I'm a man, and at the time, I didn't like myself. And I remember my sister calling me one time and asking me, she said, Willie, can you, I just need you to come pick me up. And I said, Glenn, what's going on? And, well, he did, he put his hands on you. And I remember I had a Ford Festiva. And I drove from San Antonio to Austin because I wanted to put my hands on my sister's husband at the time, neck, as I watched life letting his body because I was angry. Because I knew my sisters had already been through enough shit already. And I didn't want no dude putting my sisters through more, no, because I was there. And I watched my sisters walk around hungry, because I was hungry too. And I watched my sisters get beat, because I got beat too. And I told myself I would never let nobody hurt or harm my sisters. From that day to this, ain't nobody put their hands on them. At least I didn't know. My sisters know they don't tell me, because I want somebody. I mean I really don't want somebody, but y'all know what I'm saying. So my image that I have when it comes to my sisters know, they'll call my Glenn, they call my other brother Glenn. You know, he's a talker. I'm the guy that likes to send people to the afterlife. So my sisters, they don't call me unless they want somebody to, you know, go on up a yonder. Why? My love for my sisters exceeds my love for myself. Because I know the worth and value that's in my sisters. I've met a lot of women in my life. I've met no women greater than my two sisters, Linda and Brenda. Because I watched what they went through, and I saw how they overcame adversity. So whenever I want a hero, I got two in my own family. And my brothers, we're not bad either, but my sisters are black women. My sister Brenda has been the only black woman. She started in her career, and I'm about to bring on the soul and let her tell her story. She works in a predominantly, all male, all Caucasian environment. She started with a high school education, and now she runs the whole department. My sister Linda just bought a brand new house, big nice house, brand new car. She's the head of Goodwill down in Houston. Both of my sisters, if there's a black woman that's going through something and you need somebody to talk to, I got two black women that I know that help you get your shit together. My sisters. And my brothers, Glenn and Gary, we doing all right, but my sisters are a testimony. And they are inspiration for me because they have to change their self-image. And when they change their self-image, they change their circumstances. If you can change your self-image, Heavenly Father, touch the mind of your people. If you could just change how you see yourself, you're worth more than you see. Right now, you don't see yourself the way God sees you. Because if you did, you would not allow no man to treat you. You'd rather be like my sister tell me. Bro, it's better to be single and alone than to put up with foolishness and disrespect. You don't let nobody disrespect you. If you got to be alone, hey, so be it. I'd rather be alone and respected than in a relationship or in a marriage where you're disrespected. Brothers and sisters, it's extremely important. Your self-worth establishes your net worth. If you don't see yourself as valuable, that is why I don't teach that freaking crap that's taught in most black churches. Whether hell is real or not, I could care less. That's not my message. My message is omnibenevolent. If you need discipline, a spanking, that's somebody else's job. To me, I'm just going to tell you all the good stuff about you. I'm going to kill you with kindness. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you so much that you have to love yourself. You cannot be a part of the life management system. You cannot hang around me with no negativity. You don't have the opportunity. You don't have the time or the luxury of a negative thought. I don't even deal with negativity. I don't have the time to deal with adversity. I don't do none of this hip-hop crap. I'm not interested in fighting. I really came up my whole life fighting. I don't do fear. So you would never help me teach a message saying that if you don't do blank, you don't go to hell. If you go to hell, hey, whatever. I think we're already here. I think we're just going up. But that's another study for another time. What am I simply saying? If you see yourself as a poor, broke, busted, disgusted, worthless sinner, that is exactly what you are. Your expectations establish your experiences. I learned it the hard way. And your expectations come by not what is right or wrong. That's not what you attract. What you attract is what you repeatedly see and hear. Everything in my life is the result of what I've repeated to myself or what I allow someone else to repeat to me. Everything. I cannot think of nothing in my life that just showed up. When I look back in my life, everything that's in my life, bad and good, I ordered it. Everything. Everything and every person. Everything. I just started thinking. I just said, you know what? I'm going to start vibrating on a high level. And I remember making a statement. I remember doing a show talking about premium clients. And I said, I'm going to stop begging people to pay me. I remember the first group I had, oh, man, had a bunch of people. We meeting up. And y'all remember the story? And nobody was paying me. I didn't have no money. I was just happy having clients. This is part of the growth process. Now, totally different. Because my expectation, my image of myself changed. And then my circumstances and my reality changed. If I can do it, you can. All I've done is what I'm telling you to do. The same thing that God told me, he's telling you. The same thing that Jesus said, hey, I don't want to do this. Take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done. So brothers and sisters, in conclusion, find the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Well, thankfully, he hasn't written his laws on tablets of stone any longer. He's written his laws on the hearts and minds of his people. It's inside your heart. It's in your Dear Canary report. It's your spiritual pin number that I'm going to be talking about on September the 29th. So speaking about September the 29th, Dr. Span is going to join me. She's one of the speakers as well. So please either join us live there in Dallas, Texas. Ticket costs $100. If you pay before October the 17th, 50% off. If you can't make it to Dallas, Texas, you can join us on the webinar. It will be broadcasted live. The cost of joining through the webinar is $50, 50% off. It's only $25 if you join before August the 17th. Why is this so important? I need to help you establish a proper biblical self-image. Brothers and sisters, you have to see yourself the way God does. If you have a poor self-image, you're going to have a poor reality. Everything that happens in your life right now is being ordered, knowingly or unknowingly, by you. And the way that you establish your reality is by your mentality. If you can change your mentality, you can change your reality. It's simple as that. So, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. One of the many names that they say his name is Yahuwah. And may his son continue to bless you. One of the many names is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, set apart one. One of the many names is the Holy Spirit. Continue to lead you and guide you. Lead you and guide you in all truth. Because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sister, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
I'ma get this, cause I got this. I'ma get this, cause I got this. I'ma get this, cause I accept that I got this.
Yeah, I know. Life is such a mind job. I don't pray to you, I pray to my God. It's me, myself, and I, call me Tripod. I'm standing on my own, playing my part. I'm playing my part, better be the biggest one. Kinda like I'm rolling through the hood with the biggest gun. Cause when I'm true me, yeah, I got a heavy tongue. No one can outdo me, how I let the levee run. Cause I'm the clever one, hopping to the Chevy Sun. Stepping on your church, how I'm knocking out your reverend. I'm really sorry, but I'm tired of the never come. Preacher talking about that money, that'll really never come. So get your kingdom up and get your kingdom in order. Stop letting entities come and beat your border. I'ma hit these entities with a fleet of mortar. Never connoisseur, I'm harder than a border. I've been doing more footprint like a dinosaur. I'm a connoisseur when it comes to dropping my manure. When I see an opportunity, I got maneuver. I send my own damn self to show me how to do it. I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again. I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
Yeah. I'm done with the dogmatic, I got organic on automatic. Ain't no panic when you lose concern. Ain't no fear when you let your soul lurk and you let your soul earn. I'ma show you something real when I speak through this. Cause it ain't only me when I speak through this. So you gotta feel the G as I speak through this. Kinda like I'm at the chapel as I preach through this. See, I don't want your money, I just want you to wake up. Cause really it's the money that continues to slave us. Fat and happy while we taking a pay cut. Cause we don't realize that we the ones that amaze us. No more stuck in the placement, cause I'm a never, never stuck in the station. I'ma tell you something, I'ma hit you to face it. If you come on my way, stop me from greatness.
I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really